if you keep living of the world and you do what everybody thinks is right, but you say that you're a Christian, your religion is worthless, right? If you go out every day and you're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but then, you know, you use foul language, or you're mean to others, or you commit multiple sins throughout the day, but you say you're a Christian, are you really a Christian? A raise of hand, who knows who Tim Tebow is? All right, put your hands down. For everybody who didn't raise their hand, I now know that you guys live under a rock, so thank you for making me aware. But Tim Tebow has been a huge inspiration for me, especially when we talk about, you know, not hiding our faith. He's super prominent on social media. He never hides, you know, his beliefs. He's always out there, and he's always willing to, you know, make it known that he's a Christian and what he believes in. And that's something that's, you know, not that easy to do because, you know, social norms, and you feel like you have to fit in. But it's just something he does, and it's something that, you know, we all need to do better at, you know. And what he does is called outreach. And most of you know what outreach is, but for those of you that don't know what outreach is, this lesson is especially for you. Most of you that know what outreach is really think it's a one-on-one interaction. And that brings me to my first question, which is, how do I do outreach, right? It's not always just a one-on-one interaction. You know, it's how you act in public, and it's how you, you know, present yourself in a godlike way. So that brings me to my first bullet point, which is act godlike all the time. My mom draws this great comparison when talking about behavior. She uses a comparison of a bumper sticker. You know, if you're driving around town with a Christian bumper sticker on the back of your car, and you're going and you're swerving throughout all the lanes on the road, and you're cutting people off, you know, it might not be everybody's first thought of, oh, you know, Christianity, bad because this guy is cutting me off. But it's in the back of their head. It's shedding bad light on Christianity. As opposed to if you had the same Christian bumper sticker on the back of your car, but you're driving carefully, you're not driving recklessly, it sheds a positive light on Christianity, and, you know, it draws people closer to God. So it's just about acting godlike all the time. The scripture I used here is Colossians 3:16-17. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Now, I want you guys to underline that part that says, whether in word or deed. It really speaks, you know, especially to me, you know, showing that promoting Christianity and bringing people closer to God isn't always telling people about God, right? While that's a big part of it, it's just acting like God. I use the example of, you know, football practice or in football games. You know, I'm going to promote God through that. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go and every time I make a tackle, I'm going to jump up and down and go, that's for Jesus. But I'm not, you know, I'm not going to go out there and every time I make a tackle, I'm going to stand up and, you know, cuss him out or tell him he sucks, right? It's about, you know, portraying yourself in a nice light, and it's about bringing light, you know, positive light to the religion. And whether they know you're a Christian or not, and they'll find that out later on down the road. It's just about shedding a positive light. You don't need to tell them, you know. And acting godlike, you know, all the time also means, and it brings me to my next point, it also means that you're a seven-day Christian, so seven-day Christianity. And it's a phrase that I heard, you know, a little while back. And it's a new phrase that I heard. I hadn't heard it before. But It's about not only being a Christian on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but acting like a Christian all the time. That's something that's really hard for us to do, right? Because we feel like we have to fit into social norms and conform to society to fit in and feel cool. But in reality, is that what God wants? You have to be able to stand out, and you have to be able to promote Christianity and bring people closer to God every single day of the week, not just on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The scripture I have under this is, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like man who intently looks at his natural face in mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once. Forgets what he is like, but one who looks into the perfect law, the liberty of law, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, the person's religion is worthless. Religion is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world. The verse that really stuck out to me in that section was verse 26 that says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, the person's religion is worthless. If you keep living of the world and you do what everybody thinks is right, but you say that you're a Christian, your religion is worthless, right? If you go out every day and you're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but then, you know, you use foul language or you're mean to others or you commit multiple sins throughout the day, but you say you're a Christian, are you really a Christian? It's about acting like a Christian too. And it's about, you know, not only just saying that you're a Christian, but it's about, you know, going out every day and acting like it too. Shedding good light on the religion. My next point is use current day resources. And that ties back to Tim Tebow. You know, he is prominent on Instagram. You know, he posted something a few days ago that said, the church is a hospital for the broken, not a museum for the greats. And, you know, that really hit me hard. And I, God bless you. That really hit me hard. And I've posted it multiple times on my Instagram since, because it's just something that I think about every day now that he's posted it, is the church building and the church family being a hospital for the broken and not a museum for the greats. It's a place for people to come in and be healed. It's something that we need to know when we're committing to our outreach, is we need to be pulling people in so that they can be healed. And another thing that we do that involves Instagram is our dynamic youth page. We have an Instagram, and if you follow it, you see that we're always out in the community, and we're wearing a shirt that not only promotes our church, but Christianity. We are literally wearing our faith on our sleeve, and we go out in the community, and we're not always telling people straight to their face, oh, you need to be a Christian, but it's about going out there, wearing your faith on your sleeve, and then acting right in public, or, you know, acting right all the time so that you can shed good light on Christianity. I use Matthew 28:19-20 here. It says, go to people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have told you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. It's about, you know, always going out and doing the right thing and making it known too that you are a Christian, using the current day resources to say, hey, I'm a Christian, and then going out in public and acting the right way. Doing things like this can help grow the church And that brings me to my next question, which is, how can I grow the church? That's just one of the ways, but there are multiple other ways. My first point here is through everyday conversations. Just simply bringing it up. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've been asked before, hey, what are your plans on Sunday? And, you know, I'll leave church out of what I mentioned because I feel like, you know, I don't need to say it, you know, but I don't want, you know, people to think of me differently because I'm going to church on Sundays. Now, I've fixed that recently, but just bringing it up, you know, in everyday conversations, just wherever it can pop up. You don't need to force it, but, you know, if people ask you, like, hey, what are you doing on Wednesday night? Oh, I'm going to church. You know, it's bringing it up in those everyday conversations. I use 2 Corinthians 5:20 here. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through God we're making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, Christ's ambassadors right there, that really hit me. And the first thing I thought of was brand ambassadors, right? You think of like all these athletes that are signed on to big companies, big shoe deals, right? Curry is signed to Under Armour. He throws on Under Armour's every game, and then he goes out and plays amazing. What does everybody want to do? They want to go buy Under Armour shoes, right? So you think about it. If we wear our faith on our sleeves and we say, hey, we're Christians, we believe in God, everything like that, and we go out and we act great in public, what is everybody going to want to do? They're going to want to become a Christian, right? And it's about pulling people in like that as opposed to going to them and forcing it upon them. Our attitude needs to be right. We are ambassadors for God. My next point is being prepared for deep conversations. As people come into Christianity and as you pull them in, they're going to be asking questions naturally, and you're going to need to go into deep conversations with them. And that's one thing that Mr. Neal has really nailed down on in the high school class. Is being prepared for those deep conversations and in, you know, how to prepare for them and how to participate in them. And it's something that's really stuck with me through, you know, me growing up as a teen, not only a teen, but a teen Christian too, is being prepared for deep conversations. Because naturally there are questions that come in and there are things you have to talk about with people that you're trying to convert. And it's about being able to have those conversations with them and you know, settle them in and make them feel comfortable and make them feel like they have somebody. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. A lot of being prepared is diving into your Bible and, you know, digging in and reading. And that's something that I've struggled with doing in the past. You know, I'm super stressed out. Not only am I a great preacher, but I'm super smart also. So naturally, being super smart, having all the smart kid classes, I have a lot of homework at night. And not only am I a great preacher and I'm super smart, but I'm just such a great athlete too. So when I'm healthy, I get injured pretty often. But I have football practice after school, and I've got homework I have to do, and on top of that, I have to find time to spend with God. And so it's hard to do that, but even fitting in, you know, 15 to 30 minutes every day can help you get prepared for those deep conversations. And you know, then you'll know the right thing to say to somebody that has a question for you, or, you know, somebody that just needs you when they're at their lowest. The next thing I have is bring people to church. It's a hard thing to do, you know, going out and asking people, hey, do you want to come to church with me? Because the fear of rejection is in everybody. You don't want somebody to say no, or you don't want somebody to say, you want a yes. And it makes everybody scared to go up and ask. But me, as a teen. You know, we have a whole bunch of, you know, we feel like we need to fit into social norms. And I'm not saying that adults don't feel that way too, but for us, it's like super big because, you know, we're in school and I don't know why it's super big, but it is. We feel like we have to fit in. But I've been bringing people to church every single Sunday with me. You know, at least three people to church every single Sunday with me. And I bring as many people I can on Wednesdays. So if me as a teen can do it, everybody can do it. It's I use 1 Peter 4:9 here. It says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You need to make it feel like it's not an obligation too. You know, I know I'm saying you need to bring people to church, but it doesn't need to be an obligation to bring people to church. You should want to bring people to church. You don't need to be scared of, you know, how people think of you after you bring them to church, or like, you know, what they perceive you to be. But you need to think about, you know, how this can change their lives, and what you're doing for them is so great. So you need to feel like it's not an obligation. But that brings me to my third question, is outreach my responsibility? And I had one simple answer for you: yes. Yes, it's your responsibility. If the answer is no, then nobody's going to bring people into the church. And people will stop worshiping God and worshiping Jesus. And you may be asking me right now, well, how, you know, what are the ways that I can do it? And my first bullet point is love people. You have to show love to everybody, right? Doing that, you know, really just, you know, pulls people in. It makes people feel comfortable with you. And then you can invite them to church. One big thing that, you know, I think not only me, but I'm going to call us out here, my family has struggled with is limiting our anger in situations. You know, I'm not going to call out a specific event. He's staring beamers at you. I'm not going to call out a specific event because there are too many to count. Where we have lost our temper, and we just needed to take a step back and take a deep breath. And in those situations, you need to remember that you need to love people, and you need to show them love and kindness throughout every situation. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. If we love each other, you know, if everybody just, you know, comes together in this great bond and loves each other, I'm not saying it'll happen. It won't. But if we can all just show each other love and show each other kindness, people will naturally, you know, gravitate more towards the church and towards Christianity, because they'll see, you know, wow, these people are just such great people. My next point here is tell people about Jesus. That seems like a pretty straightforward bullet point, but it's not, because we have the worry and, you know, whatever, that, you know, people will perceive us differently if we just go out there and tell them about Jesus. And we want to keep our worldly friends with us. And if they think, you know, if they think something else, or they believe something else, we're worried that they'll drift away from us. But how are we going to participate in our outreach if we're not telling people about Jesus? Matthew 28:16-20 says, the 11 followers went to Galilee. They went to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. On the mountain, they saw Jesus and worshiped him. But some of them did not believe that it was really Jesus. Then Jesus came to them and said, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have told you. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you till the end of the world. Telling people about Jesus and bringing them into the church, and if they start coming, you know, enough, they'll think about things such as baptism and eternal life, and you know, how do I do that? And you tell them not only about Jesus, but about how to have the eternal life with Jesus, and that is through baptism. We believe in baptism to be the way, the gateway into heaven. If you're not baptized, you won't get there. Baptism is the forgiveness for all your sins. You know, when you get baptized, Jesus forgives you for all your sins that you've committed, and you've birthed into a new life. And we sing an invitation song every single week to give everybody an opportunity to come join our family, our Christian family, and to become baptized and become become a part of our family. And we give everybody an opportunity after the sermon every week to come up and be baptized. So we'll do that right now as we stand and sing.